Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe some would look at as controversial. That is fine. Some look at it on the basis that we need to depend on the CDC and the FDA and the World Health Organization. And many people still think today that we can depend on what the government says out of the Oval Office. Many people today still have confidence and trust in sleepy Joe Biden. Joe doesn't know the state he's in most of the time. Recently, when they were over in England for the burial of Queen Elizabeth, he sat down and Jill had signed the guest book, and he signed it. He got up and turned to her and said, well, where do we go from here? The mindset is somehow, some way, that he has the final authority. And with his, quote, final authority sense, in a conversation just yesterday, he said the pandemic is over. That everybody, he said, just look, nobody's wearing a mask. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, most of your hospitals, most of your doctor's offices, most of the medical associations today, it is a Gestapo that you either wear a mask or you can't get in. I was recently at my regular physician's office, and time you walk into the entrance there, they've got a giant sign, masks are required. And I told the physician when I saw him, I said, if you just give those ladies out front a badge on a 45 on their hip, you'd have it down just right. I said, they're brown shirts, a demand that if you do not wear a mask, you can't get in to see your physician. That's still being carried out. And yet Joe Biden says the pandemic is over. Look, nobody's wearing a mask and is walking through a cart or someplace that nobody had a mask on. But yet there's the mindset somehow, some way, that you got to wear a mask. And the masks are worthless. They have no value, no efficacy whatsoever. But what is not told, what is not seen, what is not understood, what is not promulgated in the media, is that these doctors and hospitals and medical associations, the longer they continue to demand that you wear a mask, they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars every month from the federal government for the CARES Act, for the COVID funds to be dispersed as long as they require you to wear a mask. It is a Gestapo forced submission by the federal government being carried out now by our physicians, doctors, and medical associations that have become the brown shirt Gestapo forcing you to wear a mask when it's harming your health and not hurting your health. Just before the top of the news break, we were talking about the medication called Remdesivir. And again, I touch on the article that says, danger. Warning, do not take Remdesivir. There's absolutely no reason to push an expensive, ineffective, and dangerous, deadly drug on the American people. This article further says, Remdesivir is very dangerous. It kills 53% of the patients in the NIAID Ebola study, in the Gilead study. Gilead labs are the ones that makes it. In the Gilead study, 31% of the people had serious life-threatening renal failures, liver failure, hypertension, sepsis, and death as a result of taking Remdesivir. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go on the CDC website and you'll find that the top medication, the very first medication that is shown for treating a COVID patient is Remdesivir. I've recently engaged a high medical professional to examine my son's medical records from a hospital that he was in Virginia, where they tortured him to death for 71 days. He went in on one day. The very next day, they started him on remdesivir and Lovenoff. Lovenoff is the blood thinner that they put a patient on, and they put him on so much of that that he had internal bleedings and three emergency surgeries while helpless on his back in the hospital when they put him on remdesivir. Remdesivir destroys the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, and the heart, causes heart failure. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's what is being used today. And as a result of that, we find thousands upon thousands of people dying, so-called dying because of COVID. And they're not dying because of COVID. They're dying because of the COVID treatment that's administered in the hospitals and by the physicians. And it's all about money. Ladies and gentlemen, a whopping $300,000 is given to the hospital if they put a ventilator down the throat of a patient. $300,000. And ladies and gentlemen, 86.5% of those that go on a ventilator, if the ventilator is in more than 10 to 14 days, they never recover. 86.5% never recover. The ventilator is the last step before death in a hospital if you have the ventilator administered. I'm going to read an article before the broadcast is over today and touch on parts of that article. It's a massive, extensive testimonial from a woman that escaped a hospital to escape death because of the treatment she was getting because she was deemed to have COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your personal experience, your story, what is taking place. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've had an experience in the hospital with COVID, if you've had a loved one to die as a result of COVID, or if you've come near death as a result of COVID and the hospital treatment, I would invite you to dial the number. Phone number is 888-486-3337. 1-888-486-3337. That is an organization called Former Feds, FormerFedsGroup.org. 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 Or you can email Carolyn, Carolyn, dot Blakeman, 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 at FormerFedsGroup.org. Ladies and gentlemen, get in touch with the people, tell your story, let them run your story. It goes on the website with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others that have given their story, their testimonials as to what has taken place and how they were maltreated and perhaps how they had a family member to die as a result of being tortured to death by the process and the protocol that CDC recommends. So you have to ask the question, why would CDC recommend remdesivir if it is so deadly? And it is. There's a grave danger. I'm looking at another article. It says the grave dangers of remdesivir and going to a hospital today. It says there's a nonstop report of deaths in New York City from a respirator virus. By day three after admission for COVID-19 patients would find that the disease had started attacking the kidneys, which in many cases led to kidney failure and death. The doctors in New York were reporting that they were short of kidney dialysis machines and ventilators. One talking about it says, our own father-in-law went in the hospital with a flu, died of kidney failure. But as they found out, it was not due to COVID, but it was due to the drug remdesivir that they had given him. Ladies and gentlemen, many of the hospital reports, the doctor's report, will say that your loved one died with liver failure, or with kidney failure, or with lung failure, or with heart failure. All of these, ladies and gentlemen, is not due to COVID. It is as a result of the COVID protocol that's torturing to death and murdering your loved ones, our family members in the hospital because they've gone under the care of a hospital or a doctor thinking that somehow, some way, that's the best thing to do. This article goes on to say, a memo from Dr. Anthony Fauci saying there's only one drug that is authorized to be used in all hospitals across America, and that drug is remdesivir. Hear me, Dr. Anthony Fauci, you've got to ask the question, why? What is his skin in the game? What is his repayment for doing such? This article says Dr. Fauci also said there were two drugs that were not allowed for COVID patients, namely hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Hear me. Dr. Anthony Fauci became the dictator-in-chief in the United States of America for health care, for medical care, for CDC, and for what the doctors are allowed to do in our hospitals. Ladies and gentlemen, right at this very moment, most doctors are no longer self-employed. Most doctors are working under a medical association that's owned, operated, controlled, and dictated to by the hospital organization that they work under. Doctors no longer are free to tell you the truth about what is taking place with COVID. They're no longer free to tell you that the remdesivir will kill you. They're no longer free to tell you that the COVID vaccinations are worthless. They're no longer permitted to allow you to know the truth, and no longer do you get the informed consent from a patient. It's just something that is normal and natural, as they see it, to force this on patients. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole thing is, it's M-O-N-E-Y. By the time everything is said and done, a hospital, a doctor, medical association, if they have a COVID patient, because of the major funding from the federal government for them to maltreat you, to murder you, to torture you to death, there's between $500,000 and $1 million between $500,000 and $1 million that hospital and the doctors will receive as a result of torturing you to death, and if it is considered COVID. I'm looking, an article says the high percentage of COVID deaths had the third shot, more excessive deaths after the fourth shot. And it goes on to say, currently many countries around the world are promoting the second and third COVID-19 vaccination and booster shots, many of whom have already received the first booster shot. The article states 76% of the people, hear me, 76% of the people died of COVID-19 infections had had their second or third booster shot. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the old story of the root of all evil is money, M-O-N-E-Y. As a result of the money matters, as a result of the funds it's received, they're willing to murder you or your family member under the guise of it being a COVID medication or a COVID treatment plan. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What is your response? How do you feel? What have you heard? Have you had a family member to die? Have you had a family member to have to escape the hospital to keep from being murdered, or tortured to death in the hospital? Where do you stand? We'd love to hear from you. Do you feel that this is not really as bad as it sounds? Do you feel that somehow, some way, we need to still place our faith and trust and confidence in the medical association? It is something that cannot be done today, ladies and gentlemen, because of what is taking place in relationship to these things that are being allowed under the guise of medical care. I believe we have John on the line. John, go ahead with the question and the comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, happy Wednesday.
Thank you so much. You also.
Let's see, I have family members. I'll just leave it at that. Let's see, I have one family member that took Moderna, 36 years old, and about maybe, a month or two afterwards, they said he was sick, wasn't feeling well, and they said, looks like you have mono again. He goes, well, I've never had mono. Oh, you haven't? It looks like a reoccurrence of mono. He goes, no, my brother's had mono when he was in high school, but I've never had mono. And then, a couple of months after that, at 36 years old, he got shingles. And also he's had, he went to a cardiologist because he's had, they called it presyncope. Syncope is when you faint. He had presyncope, and so he wore a monitor and stuff. And they haven't found anything wrong with him. He's in really great physical shape. But it's just all of this. And, of course, I haven't said to him, well, do you think this is from you taking the vaccine? And he hasn't said that to me, but I'm thinking it, that maybe it came from him taking the vaccine. And then I have another family member that's in great shape, 40 years old, and he had like sort of like a panic-type thing that happened, and his heart was beating really fast, and he's just recently wore a monitor. And, well, I'm sorry, wait a minute. When he first went to the cardiologist said, has anybody said that this could be because, have you had COVID recently? He goes, yeah, I had it like 3 weeks ago when he went to the doctor the first time. He said, well, it could very well be COVID. And if it is COVID, it'll probably go away. Well, he ended up wearing a heart monitor at 40 in great physical condition. And he's had episodes where he's sitting at his desk and his pulse goes up to 120. And he said he's had, that's happened three times for him. So fortunately, no life-threatening stuff, but there's been some health issues that are going on. And actually, my wife is still, she got bronchitis after she had COVID, and she's still going through what they call long COVID.
Yes.
So it's been a little interesting with our family. Actually, and then she has someone in her family that their husband, I have a picture of this, he had a small butter knife that was stuck to his tricep. Not somebody I saw on Facebook that just posted something. This is somebody I played golf with, and he had a small butter knife that was stuck to the area where he actually got his vaccine, which is kind of a little weird. But anyway, so there's been some stuff going on within our family. Fortunately, nothing life-threatening, but, you know, we do hear about people that they've been affected by this, and it's sad.
We would be praying that it would get better, but one of the things that I look at, and it's kind of scary, and yet the scripture says for the Christian, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but we need to be concerned. Looking at an article, John, that says studies show blood damage in those who got COVID jab. Warning, if you've had a COVID vaccine or booster shot, what this article represents may cause you to stress and have anxiety. And it's a detailed medical author, medical article of about 10 to 12 pages talking about the blood damage. In fact, they say that in the next 10 years on a global basis, approximately, this is medical scientists that are telling the truth, that approximately 1 billion people on the face of the globe will die as a result of the COVID vaccinations. That's on a global basis, 1 billion people. And that's what the globalists...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's what the globalists and those that are wanting to have the one world order are looking at, because people like George Soros and Bill Gates and others are looking at it on the basis that we need to reduce the population because we're destroying Mother Earth.
And I think it didn't go like they thought it was. I think we've been fighting back a lot more than they thought we were going to. And it's, I'll go to the pharmacist. He's actually a friend. And I'll say to him, because I got the vaccine for pneumonia. I said, okay, Dave, why is it I feel comfortable with this vaccine, but I don't feel comfortable with any other vaccine? And I've had life experience. When we first got COVID, we had, they didn't want my wife and I, but we both got it. She went to Baptist Hospital over the weekend, and they sent her a home health care nurse. I was at Memorial, and they sent another home health care nurse from another company, and neither one of these nurses ever take vaccines. And then I've gone to the dermatologist, and the doctor and the nurses there said they don't take vaccines. So it's kind of made some doubt where I've not actually had people in the medical field saying, I'm not going to take the vaccine. And because, like I said, I went to Dave, the pharmacist, and had the pneumonia vaccine, and I didn't feel apprehensive, I guess, maybe because it's been around for a while. Plus, I haven't had people in the medical field going, oh, no, I don't know if you should take that or not. So thank you for what you do in your ministry, Dr. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for your call, John. I'm thankful to hear from you, praying for your family. And this perhaps is an answer, John, to you and perhaps some listening. Looking at an article that says, watch out, lost trust in your physician? Dr. Peter McCullough has a solution. Dr. Peter McCullough, by the way, is a global renowned scientist, medical doctor, heart specialist. Said the crushing of debate and traditional scientific inquiry that has curbed access to the proven treatments and forced ineffective and even dangerous therapeutics on patients during the COVID-19 pandemic has for many Americans created an unprecedented crisis of faith in the world's most advanced world healthcare system. He says, if I get sick with COVID-19, can I trust my doctor to treat me as a unique human being with a unique medical history and provide me with the without hindrance from corporate entities, from government, from bureaucrats, and from the medical industry with treatment plan that will help me heal and get well? For many who can no longer say yes to this question, Dallas-based internist and cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the most outspoken critics of the government and medical establishment response to the pandemic, has been a de facto primary care physician, particularly through the McCullough Protocol. And he goes on to talk about what is needed. I watched about a two-hour video with Dr. McCullough and his interview, and he says there's a need today for physicians to set up a protocol, a group of physicians to set it up where they do not go through insurance companies, do not depend on insurance or government funding, and simply have pay-as-you-go for the patients so that physician can be honest with the patient and not be fired or his license suspended or canceled by a governmental agency or by a state agency as a result of telling the truth to the patient. This article says, by Dr. Peter McCullough, people have lost trust in the healthcare system. There's no doubt about it, Dr. McCullough said. Further, he says, there's been a second major hit, Dr. McCullough told the news, where people just walked away when doctors used patients to take the investigational CD COVID vaccine. As a safety data began to pour in, Americans says, forget it, not taking the experimental vaccine because it will kill me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the dangers that we've gone through, the wicked, evil protocol that's been set up by the CDC and the mindset behind it. It's the money factor. Trace the money, and you'll understand what is taking place. Dr. Anthony Fauci contradicts Joe Biden. I don't place any faith and confidence in Joe Biden. I don't even know if he remembers what he said when he said the pandemic is over. But I'm looking at an article that says Dr. Fauci contradicts Biden, who claimed COVID pandemic is over. Not where we need to be, Dr. Fauci says. The White House and Dr. Anthony Fauci on Monday directly contradicted President Joe Biden's declaration that COVID-19 pandemic is over. Speaking with 60 Minutes in an interview that aired on Sunday, the president said unequivocally, in unequivocal terms, the pandemic is no more. End quote. Quote, the pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it, Biden said, but the pandemic itself is over. If you notice, there's no one wearing masks anymore. Everyone seems to be in pretty good shape, and so I think it's changing, and I think that it's a perfectly good example that the COVID pandemic is over. Fauci then directly contradicted Biden and claimed that the U.S. is not positioned to rightly declare that the pandemic is over. Here's Anthony Fauci, Sir Anthony Fauci, St. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci, that now wants to be the talking head, to be the one that makes the final decision on what can take place and what shouldn't take place in relationship to a so-called pandemic, which was a plandemic. I'm looking at an article here. This will tell you why Fauci says what he says. Investigational report. Anthony Fauci's royalties and $350 million royalty payments are being hidden by the NIH. Last year, the National Institute of Health, Dr. Anthony Fauci's employer, doled out $30 million in government grants to roughly 56,000 recipients, the largest of taxpayers' money, but buys a lot of favor and clout within the scientific research and healthcare industry. We estimate that between fiscal year 2010 and 2020, more than $350 million in royalties were paid to third parties to the agency of NIH and the scientists who credited it to the investors. And large portions of that, ladies and gentlemen, has gone into the pockets of Sir Anthony Fauci and his proteges that have followed him, that have given him thumbs up with all that he said and done. In fact, in my reading and research on it, the Anthony Fauci and others in that circle have since 2005, they have over 83 patents that they own themselves, and it was patenting serums and injections and protocols in advance of even having heard of any type of pandemic or plandemic as we should show it. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at another article, says ivermectin study shows 92%, hear me, 92% lower chance of COVID death. Now, ivermectin is in third world countries sold for about 10 cents a pill. Ivermectin is a dirt cheap medication that can help cure and stop COVID transfer and transmission. HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin are the two major protocols that Dr. McCullough, Dr. Cole, Dr. Malone, and others on a national basis have been representing and recommending but yet it's been tamped down by Sir Anthony Fauci and the CDC and the FDA. They're using a protocol that pays the money. They're getting the kickbacks and the payoffs from Gilead Laboratories, from Pfizer Labs, and from Moderna and others by the hundreds of billions of dollars. It's not cheap. It's not a few million. It's hundreds of billions of dollars. This article says, ivermectin study shows 92% lower chance of COVID death. A large study on the impact of using ivermectin as a prophylactic for COVID-19 found that regular users of the drug experienced up to a 92% reduction in mortality compared to those who did not use it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the death for sure for one that goes in the hospital with COVID if they put you on remdesivir and not allow you to have HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, or ivermectin that can cure COVID pathogen. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I feel that during the height of the COVID outbreak last year, during July, August, September, around in that time when the tragedy hit our family, I feel that unvaccinated people that went to the hospital were targeted for death. And
absolutely.
That
there's no question.
I believe that. I really do. So
Miranda, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast, but let me quickly do this. I'm looking at a headline article. Woman escapes COVID-19 hospital treatment protocols, said others are not so lucky. And she goes into great detail. She went in the hospital on December the 3rd when the physician found that she was unvaccinated. He said, "You're going to die." Pronounced her death sentence the day that after she went in the hospital when they discovered that she did not have the COVID jab. And she goes into great detail how she had to be extracted by force from the hospital with the Gestapo at the hospital trying to prevent her from leaving. And that's the only thing that saved her life, was by going through by force to get her extracted from the hospital before they killed her. She said she escaped it, but others are not so lucky. So you're exactly right with your statement on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day, sir. I appreciate all you do.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. This article states, over a week ago, Gail Steller's physician had given her a terminal diagnosis. Her husband, Brad, wheeled her out of the back door of the hospital where she had been admitted for COVID-19. "I'm so sorry, Ms. Steller. You're going to die," she recalled her physician telling her. On that same day, the resistance of the hospital staff, Brad extracted Steller from the medical center in Plano, Texas, the hospital there where the couple lives. And it goes on with great detail. "It became very clear to me that people are not dying in the hospital from COVID. They're dying in the hospital because of the COVID protocols that the patients are being forced and subjected to as a result of taking the COVID medication that's given." Ladies and gentlemen, it's a dangerous scenario. So the question, can you trust your physician anymore? Can you trust the hospital? I say personally, no, 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 10,000 times no. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.